From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. We are rerunning one of our most listened to podcast episodes.
Oh, this is not one of. This is the most listened to. This is the one that everybody wants.
And I think it is a great way to end 2021 with, especially because now your kids are probably right home and you might be dealing with a lot of back talk.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's right. And you're like, when does school start again?
Yes, those 2 weeks can drag on forever. So we hope you enjoy this episode of our most listened to podcast. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my fantastically wonderful, you got this, co-host, Bree Tucker.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
We're wearing the I got this t-shirts because, like, we do got this.
You know what? And it's funny, the story behind the t-shirts.
Yeah.
I found them at Target.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is my jam. Like, I got so excited. I started kind of squealing and jumping a little bit at the store. And Miguel's with me. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, can I get this t-shirt? And he's like, of course.
I got
I'm
this.
Like, no, no. Can I pull it off? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I actually have reminds me, I need to go get it. I have a necklace that says, you got this on it. So I'll have, you got this for everyone outside. And I got this. And we all got this. Because I think it's really a confidence issue when it comes down to parenting.
It is. It really is. Because a lot of times we're like, I don't got this. But you do got this.
You do got this.
Gotta follow that gut.
Yeah. So much of our society tells us not to follow our gut. But so much of our gut is right.
Right.
Right. One of the things that society tells us not to follow our gut on is back talk.
I know. Like, no kids should ever talk back. And if they're talking back, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Isn't that the message?
That's BS, people.
It's BS. It's telling you that your kids should never have an opinion on anything you do and they should just listen to you, which doesn't happen.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, let's just start by popping that fairy tale dream.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but we all know our kids have opinions because here in the United States, we do not live in a society where kids are meant to be seen and not heard.
No. And I think that one thing that we need to make really clear right now is that if your kids are giving you back talk, as in they're talking back when you ask them to do something, it does not mean you're doing it wrong. Like, you got this. It's everything is going right if they are telling you their opinion about how they feel about what you just said.
Right. Because that's part of normal child development, right? And I think that it was really interesting. So when we were talking about this episode, right, you and I were both having a little bit of a different opinion on what was back talk.
Yes, because I was like, I don't get it. What's back talk? Because the things I see as my kids just expressing their opinions are what other people define as back talk. Like, we asked Facebook this. We asked our Facebook page and everything about what back talk was.
Right, right. We went out to social media and some of the answers that we got back from people were things like, when your kid says, hang on, just wait, you do it.
I'm busy. So I was shocked. I was actually shocked at these responses, and not because I have a moral high ground, but just because, like, I don't have a moral high ground, by the way, just because I don't consider them back talk. I consider them just like, kids are stating their opinion in a very unrefined way because they're kids and they don't know how to give their opinions without making other people upset.
I agree with that to some extent. I do. I do. I think what defines back talk for most people, and by all means, everybody, Podcast Land, please comment, speak back. Let me know what you think about this. But I think what defines back talk is when they're expressing their opinions back to you about something that you asked them to do in a disrespectful way. That's the key there. It's the disrespect.
So if, for instance, I asked my kids to unload the dishwasher and they told me, hell no, I'm not going to unload the dishwasher. Yes, that'd be backtalk.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And I don't think that, and again, it's a perception. Backtalk is subjective. It is not objective. Mm-hmm. What I claim to be backtalk, you might not see that way. Well, clearly, because again, because we were talking and you were like, but my kids don't do it. And then I just laughed. I was like, oh, just you wait. And then the more we talked about it, it was like, oh, really? It has to do with the communication style.
It's really the communication style. Because as we talked more, like my kids were doing the same things that your kids are doing. I just didn't define it the same way.
Well, yes. And I do think that in some cases, one of my children at least has a little bit more disrespect in their tone sometimes. We're dealing with this whole feeling out boundaries between parents and child in my household right now with one of my kids. This kiddo is definitely, she's really trying to figure out what she can and cannot do. But you know what the interesting part is? It's just like what we said, though. It's a developmental thing.
Yeah.
Like at your early teen years, that is normal child development to figure out where your boundaries are, what you can do, what you can't do, what's allowed, what isn't allowed. So you do push back a little bit. Kids do push back a little bit. And what's important is how we react, right?
And I do see my kids go through phases too. Like we have a very like difficult phase and then it kind of evens out. And then something else comes up and it's like a difficult phase and it evens out. I have seen that push back against boundaries and those things where things become just a little on the edge of disrespectful and you're like, okay, we're not going to go this way.
And there is a big difference. Let me throw this out there because I know that you and I both feel very strongly about this. There's a big difference between the disrespect that causes the back talk when it's a relationship thing or whatever, and those things we've talked about before, the halt.
Yes.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I get mean when I'm hungry. I get mean when I'm tired. Like, actually, we were playing a game over the weekend, and I was just getting snippy.
Oh.
And my daughter just looks at me and goes, do you need to go to bed, Mom? And I went, yes,
I do.
Yes, I do. I'm very tired and my back hurts. I'd hurt my back that day. Oh. My back hurts and I'm hungry because I'm on this diet and I can't eat anything because everything's gone in the house. We have to go shopping tomorrow. And my daughter, like, it was so funny because her eyes just got real big. And when it was done, she was like, dude, go to bed, Mom.
It's so funny because, those internal needs we have really affect our moods and they affect our kids' moods as well.
So sometimes our kids will get snippy and have attitude or disrespect when they're feeling sick or they're tired or they're hungry or they're angry about something else that happened. It doesn't mean that it's something that has to be fixed with our parenting.
And it does not mean you're doing anything wrong. It does not. And in this episode, we're going to show you some ways that you can handle the back talk and also ways that I hope will help you feel a little bit more patience, because I know when our kids are acting that way, oh my gosh, I want to blow up and like go and retreat into the nearest closet and eat some Ben and Jerry's or like scream or something like that. But just knowing these things and knowing that it's normal, it's developmental, and all kids go through it and it's nothing to do with you, it gives me a lot more patience thinking about it that way.
Yep.
So we hope it helps you as well. And now on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Can look like a lot of different things in a lot of different families. And what many people consider backtalk, other people don't consider backtalk, like we talked about just now.
Right. I'll be honest. When we got a bunch of the feedback on Facebook, some of the things were harsher than others. Like some things I would hear was like, my kid says, but, or why doesn't my brother have to do it? And I get those things. I do. And I can see how, again, like I said, it's all about the tone and the disrespect, body language, everything that comes along.
And let's just say those things, they're annoying. It's annoying to hear that.
Super annoying. And then there were other things that were said, like, you're the strictest mom in the world. You should have played with me. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Today's the absolute worst. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And I can see, like you just said, like it causes a lot of emotional feedback from us as parents.
It does.
And a lot of times we're just sitting there like, what are we supposed to be able to do?
I mean, that whole like, you're the worst. When your kid tells you that you're the worst, that hurts.
Right.
It hurts. And you start questioning like everything you do. So it does. It gets this emotional response.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire, like, went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just, like, skinned my hands, everything.
Ugh.
I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like, whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOGUILT.
It does. And I'm going to take a moment to share my back talk story, because I feel like in my household, we do have a bit of a back talk issue that's going on. I do realize that part of it is developmental, like I said during our intro. Part of it is developmental, and part of it is legit back talk. There's some disrespect there. That's so stupid. This and that and the other. Thank goodness my daughter does stop short of "you're stupid."
Mm-hmm.
She does know that line. And trust me, I see her being aware, like stopping herself when she knows that she's about to say something that crosses that line.
Mm-hmm.
But like an example of back talk that we've had in our house recently, there was a time where she wanted to go clothes shopping and I was willing to take her to the store to go clothes shopping. Now, my point of this, like making me sound like I'm willing to do it, like she came downstairs on like a Sunday afternoon and was like, "I want to go clothes shopping." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm doing this. Well, I want to go like now." And I'm like, "Well, I'm doing things. When I'm done, I can take you." So then she was like, okay, we had our agreed upon time. She goes, does her thing. I do my thing. She comes back down and she's in her pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Brie, don't take you out shopping when you're in your pajamas. I mean, I understand every household is different. Mm-hmm. And I said that to her too. But I looked at her and went, "You haven't changed." And she's like, "Well, I want to wear this." And I'm like, "No, you've been wearing that all weekend. Those mm-hmm. have been your pajamas. And if I remember correctly, you wore them all day Saturday too."
Mm-hmm.
We don't go out in our pajamas. That is a rule we have in this house. I've never let you go out in your pajamas. We don't go on our pajamas. You put on whatever else you want. That's fine. And her response was, well, that's stupid. That's a stupid rule. This is just stupid. And she'd be like, tell me why. And I'd give her a reason. And the answer would come back as, well, that's just a stupid reason. That doesn't make sense. That's stupid.
Yeah, that would get me.
Yeah. So yeah. And you should see me over here. I'm all whipping my hair and like, that's stupid. So,
yeah.
And there was a lot of snarly faces coming at me, which invoked a lot of emotion on my side. Mm-hmm. But I did try to keep my cool and we were able to work through it. And the only way I got it to stop, guys, was with me saying, I love you. But the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you what you need to do. I'm willing to take you shopping like we agreed upon. I booked 2 hours. You're eating into your 2 hours of shopping right now. She eventually went upstairs, changed her clothes. And I would say actually what the really awesome part was, about 45 minutes into the shopping thing, we're walking down the aisle at the store and she just randomly goes, I'm sorry.
That's awesome. See, all those times when like you kept your cool, you stuck to your boundary and then you just let it be. And she came back and she's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I just kind of like nudged her and winked at her and she was like, fine. Mm-hmm. Like, cause she's not the kind of kid that I could have a conversation because that would make her embarrassed. And then she'd be like, stop it. You're making this weird.
But what would have happened if she said, if you said to her comment, that's stupid. You're like, you do not talk to me that way. Go up to your room right now. Like, what would have been the result?
Oh, we both would have been very upset.
Yeah.
She wouldn't feel like I heard her at all, which I'm not saying that she felt like I heard her, but she clearly saw that her behavior was not what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have felt like crap.
Yeah.
Utter crap. S-H-I-T all freaking day. Mm-hmm. I just would have been like eating away at me that we had that fight and mulling over it. And I do that a lot, especially right now being divorced, getting my kids 50-50. And I tell my daughter this all the time because she's the one I have the most conflicts with. It's that I don't want to spend my time fighting with you.
No, yeah.
I only get so much time with you. And I think that's true for all of our kids. We only get so much time with our kids in our lives. I don't want to spend it fighting. Don't put me in that position.
That's how I feel too. Like, I never want to get into a fight because the way I view it, if I get into a fight, I've lost. I'm already the loser.
Right.
Because there's no way that you can win a fight against a tween. I mean, if you have a tween, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no way in a teen and a kid, any of them, because there's no way they're going to see your point of view in an argument. There's no way.
Like, it's very rare. I call those the unicorn moments.
Yeah, the unicorn moments, that because it just doesn't happen. When they're like,
Oh, you're right.
You're totally right. Yes, you're right. That doesn't happen ever.
Why did they do that? Yeah, no.
And so it's like frustrating as it is sometimes to step away. I like many times I have to literally close my mouth and step away because I'm like, you are making me so mad right now, child, that I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret. So I'm just going to go with this.
Right. So Joanne and I have been mulling over this for weeks, like talking about this episode. And we came up with the 5 steps that are going to be super supportive for you in this. That's going to be able to help end that pushback when it's happening in the moment a lot quicker and in a way that makes it so that you feel better at
you
the
feel
end.
Better at
both
the
of
end.
You feel better at
it
the
may
end.
Feel very uncomfortable going through this, but you're going to feel better at the end. And the more you go through these things, the more comfortable you'll feel.
Exactly.
So that discomfort, yep, totally normal. So here we go. Number one, it's reflective listening. That's a hard one. Reflective listening is hard to do because a lot of times we immediately want to fix a situation that we go right over trying to understand the situation better.
And it's also really hard to be reflective when someone's throwing shade at you.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing the attitude. It's really hard to be like, so I hear you say that you feel like this is a stupid rule.
Yeah. It's really hard to keep the tone out of it, too.
Because
yeah. And that's like a key part of reflective listening is that you have to keep that curiosity tone instead of like the judgment tone because the judgment tone comes out so easy.
Like, oh, and teens pick up on that.
Easy, and they pick up on it so, so well. It's like the littlest hint, they'll be like, oh, and they'll feel the need to defend themselves and you won't get anywhere.
Right. Dr. Lisa Bravo talks about that in her episode, which will actually be airing on Thursday, April 15th. So probably have already heard that one, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
So what reflective listening is if, for instance, your child comes up to you and says, like Bree's example, this is a stupid rule. reflective listening would be like, I understand that you think this is a stupid rule.
Yes. Yeah. It's just saying it back. You're not giving judgment. You're not doing anything else. Mm-hmm. So that's when we roll into step two.
Yeah.
Right after the reflective listening.
Is to ask questions. And when we ask questions, we have to really bear in mind that sometimes we don't ask questions from curiosity. Sometimes we ask questions to prove a point.
Right.
A point that we think is already correct. We already know the answer and the outcome. And so we ask those kind of questions. Like when your daughter said that she was thought that wearing pajamas outside the house, like it was a stupid rule.
So I get that you think it's a stupid rule, but why are my rules so stupid?
That's a perfect example. Like, why are my rules so stupid? There's no right answer. There's no right answer.
Right. No matter what she says, she's stepping into a hole.
And you're trying to prove the point that she is being disrespectful at that time.
Exactly.
So like an example of a question to ask for curiosity's sake is like, okay, I get that you feel like this is stupid. I might ask a question like, why do you want to wear pajamas out of the house? Just to understand her point of view a little bit better.
That's a great, great point.
Not giving any credibility to her point of view. Like you're not agreeing with her when you ask that question. I think that's the really hard part with a lot of parents.
Right. And I can tell you, I did ask that question.
Yeah.
The answer that came back was because this is easy and it's comfy.
Yeah. So that's really great information to take as a parent. So I understand that you want to be really comfortable when you go out. Is that right?
And she's like, yeah, and I don't want to have to go upstairs and change again.
Oh, I get that. I understand that you don't want to go upstairs and change.
Yeah.
So, and then you could summarize after you ask the question. So what I'm getting is that you want to wear pajamas outside of the house because you want to be comfortable and you also don't want to take the time and the energy to go upstairs and change. And do I have all that correct?
And normally they'll answer back. And do realize that there's a lot of pauses in this.
Yep.
While they're staring at you, either A, trying to figure you out what angle you're coming
what
from.
What angle are you coming, yeah.
Or they're just looking at you going, are you kidding me? Don't you know this? Like, I think that a lot of that is what's going through their head. And you know what? That's normal.
That's
because
normal.
They're learning communication still, even at this stage.
And through your questions, you're actually helping them understand more why they're pushing back. You're giving them the language to communicate their feelings.
Right. So, I mean, we know that Joey and I are not naive. Let me just throw that out there, guys. Like, we get this. We know that this will often, like, asking these questions, like I just said, you're going to get the eye rolling.
Yeah.
You're going to get the sighs. And sometimes you're even going to get the really irritating, for me, the hoodie shut.
Yeah.
When they're wearing the hoodie and they just throw it over their face and they do, like, the Kenny thing and they pull the strings and all of a sudden their face just, like, disappears. And you're like, I can still see you.
Yeah.
You're still there.
You know what I get is because I read a lot of parenting books and I'm very into this whole psychology of it all. Like, my kids will come back and be like, I know what you're doing, Mom. And I'll be like, what? What am I doing?
Yes. Like, we've heard that from a lot of parents that are like in this field. Their parents are like, quit doing the psychology stuff on me.
Quit doing that parenting stuff.
But we're telling you, just try it. Because more often than not, you're going to find that your kid is going to open up. And it's going to give you a little bit more dialogue.
It is.
And it's going to help you in this battle to get past the back talk.
And it's not going to be easy. Asking questions is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And
you'll probably mess it up, but it's okay.
You'll probably mess it up.
You'll get plenty of opportunities to practice it again.
Yep. And like in our balanced coaching program, we have this come out up a lot in coaching calls that we coach our members through what to do when they're faced with the situation and also what questions they could use to drill a little bit deeper.
And you know what I think is great about that is that when we do it in balance, it's not in the moment, obviously, right? I mean, you're not having a dispute with your child while they're in this coaching call with us. Mm-hmm. They're reflecting back on something that happened. And when you're not in the moment, you can really reflect on your thoughts and how you want to do things differently next time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're much more open to solutions. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit too, when I was asking questions in the reflective listening, a few times I had to look just past my child, not at my child, but just past them because I couldn't take the visual, the rolling of the eyes, the slouching, the crumpled nose. So that's my little trick I'm sharing with y'all. Look just past them. It helps.
Yeah.
If you like this show, there's a decent chance you'll also enjoy the Shameless Mom Academy. Hi, I'm Sarah Dean, the founder and host of the Shameless Mom Academy. The Shameless Mom Academy is a podcast for moms that centers moms more than it centers your kids. I'm not going to teach you how to make baby food or how to make your 3-year-old or 13-year-old stop having tantrums. Instead, I'm going to bring you back to yourself. For the last 20 years, I've been helping moms through growth and transformation. Inside the Shameless Mom Academy, I help you identify who you are and who you are becoming. Look, motherhood is hard. It brought me to my knees many times and sometimes still does. Returning to who I am and who I am becoming allows me to decide how to show up in all those sticky motherhood moments, but also in all my other relationships and in all the ways I show up in my various communities. So come check out the Shameless Mom Academy wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm willing to bet you'll leave feeling a little inspired and maybe even completely fired up. And you'll probably laugh a few times because I promise we never take ourselves too seriously over here. With 700 episodes to choose from, you're likely going to find something that sparks and speaks to you inside the Shameless Mom Academy.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
So that brings us to number three. Think about your role. This is hard.
It is a hard one.
Because a lot of times when kids are like back talking to us or being disrespectful to us, we need to really examining the message that we're putting out to kids. And this is not about blame. It is not about guilt. This is something that I've had to go back in myself and reflect exactly what's going on. I have this a lot in terms of perfectionist things and not resting. When I see my daughter trying to do everything perfect and like be as productive as possible, and I'm like, hold on, rest. I have to look back at myself and be like, what message am I giving her?
Right. And you know, another thing that I found was really helpful about this thinking about your role. We've recently been reading The Explosive Child by Dr. Mm-hmm. Ross Green. And he talks about the importance of letting kids have that transition time and how a lot of times that causes conflict.
Yeah.
So an example of that would be, and this is where I occasionally see back talk from my son, who is much less likely to give it to me. But I ask him to, I don't know, go walk the dog, mm-hmm. right? We live in a 3-story house. So a lot of times I'll do it via Alexa to avoid having to run all the way up to the third floor. And I'll be like, hey, can you walk the dog? And he'll come back and say, yeah, I'll do it. And then 10 minutes has passed and he hasn't done it. So then now I'm getting upset because mm-hmm. I'm like, you said you'd walk the dog. And in my head, 10 minutes is plenty. So then I go upstairs and he's playing a video game. Mm-hmm. And I would say to him, hey, you said you'd walk the dog. And he'd go, in a minute. Okay. Now, what was my contribution in that?
I was just expecting him to immediately drop everything he was doing to walk the dog.
Yes. I didn't mm-hmm. take into consideration he was in the middle of something. How would I feel if I was in the middle of editing a podcast episode and my kid asked me to make them something to eat and I said, I'll get to it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, they came in demanding for that food.
My kids do that all the time.
I'd and be like, it makes me crazy. You don't. Yes. Right? So I would have that same response. So that's where I have to look at my role. Mm-hmm. Did I come in and expect my kid to drop everything they were doing to do the request I gave them?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And it really wasn't fair. And whether or not it had to happen at that moment, let's say it did have to happen. He had to walk the dog within 10 minutes. Let's say he absolutely had to. What I'm saying in this is that when you look at your own role, you understand that wasn't necessarily disrespectful back talk.
Yeah.
It was an emotional response, not realizing what your child's needs were.
I think that's a great example. I mean, I think I do the same thing when I'm on a rush to get everything picked up in the house and I'm like, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? Then my kids are like, and they're just stunned because here they are assaulted with like this barrage of requests from me.
And they're trying to get one done and the next one comes and then they can't keep track of all that in their head. And then we're frustrated because you're like, I asked you to do it.
Exactly.
And that's another one that my daughter tells me a lot. Like she's very sensitive to my tone.
The tone, yes.
And sometimes let's say I'm coming home and like you just said, we're rushed. We got to get something done. Or I'm coming home and I've had a bad day or something just happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, last night. I had a tone when I was talking to my kids because we were on a walk with the dog, Miguel and I were, and Max being Max, he's this little chihuahua mix that thinks he is in charge of the world and he thinks every other dog in the world is trying to eat me.
Yeah.
So he got very upset on the walk several times and almost got in a full out brawl with another dog that was not on a leash. Not even going to address that one. You know how I feel about that clearly right now. So I get home and our walk was longer than it meant, so or what that was supposed to be. So part of dinner had started to burn and everybody was in the kitchen like, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. So I started snapping and then I had to step back, breathe hard because my daughter then gave some attitude back to me. Mm-hmm. And before I responded to her, I immediately knew because of the fact that I was so aware of myself that I had been snapping at her first.
Yes.
So I immediately stopped and was like, you know what? I'm sorry. I have a tone. I'm not frustrated with you. Frustrated with the walk with the dog and the food is burning. And she's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap back.
The tone thing. I get the tone thing too. Stopped. Yeah. I get like sometimes I will get upset. When I get upset, I tend to clam up and not tell everyone the things. And I get very short. And I'm like, yeah, can you go over there and do that? And my daughter's like, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. Of course I'm mad. At that same time, like, I don't know exactly what I'm mad about. So, like, I will be trying to, like, keep my emotions under control, and it just doesn't work. So, like, 2 minutes later, I'll be like, I'm frustrated because of this and this and this. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with my kids.
And you know what? They need to hear that. The tweens and the teens.
They need to hear it.
They have to hear that it's not them because, as you know, the world does revolve around them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It's normal to think that as a teen or a tween.
And I'm joking. Yeah. I'm being sarcastic. But at the same time, like you just said, that's a developmental stage.
It's developmental to think the whole world revolves around you.
Yeah, they're working through that thought process. But because of that, they also take a lot of what emotions are thrown out there and they internalize it.
They do. That brings us to number four.
Yes.
Give your child more freedom. It's hard. This one's a hard one because a lot of the times if we think that we're not constantly on it and we're not constantly reminding them that something is going to fall through the cracks and our child is going to fail miserably.
Right. And we also think sometimes if they're being rude or disrespectful that they don't deserve that freedom.
Exactly.
If you're being rude, freedom is an earned right.
Yes. And that is the hard thing because a lot of times when our kids are being disrespectful, they need more freedom. That's what they're telling us. They're pushing back because they need more freedom. And no amount of taking away like privileges or anything is going to make them be any more respectful.
So this will work really great when you have the case of like you ask your kid to, I don't know, do their laundry.
Yes. It's so funny because when we were talking about this and then you brought it to Miguel and you're like, yeah, Joanne says her kids don't backtalk. And Miguel's like, wait a minute. Wasn't it her son who said that he wasn't going to fold his laundry? And I'm like, yes, he totally told me that. My son, like, we put him in control of his laundry and he refused to fold his clothes, like, quite adamantly. So much so that he actually told me, like, I don't have to do it and you can't make me. But he told me in a very measured tone. It wasn't like yelled back at me.
And you could have taken that as back talk and you could have engaged in.
I could have engaged in that.
A conversation on it.
I did not engage. I got extremely mad, but when I get mad, I take it in and I walk away because I knew that I was going to say something at that instant that would damage my relationship with my son.
Right.
But so backtalk does happen in our house. However, giving him that freedom not to fold his clothes ended up being a very good thing in the long run. Because he then experienced the natural consequences of not folding his clothes.
Within a week.
Within a week. Because like we're going out the door for school and he's like, Mom, I can't find any socks. And I'm like, oh.
Right.
And he looks at me. He's like, oh. And he goes and he like tries to find socks. But funny story. My son actually wears two different socks every day now.
So does mine.
Because he doesn't want to put the socks together and it's become his new style. And
I'm same like, with mine. Oh, my Lord. I thought it was just Robert.
That's the freedom that to give kids to kind of express themselves how they want to express themselves. Yes, someone might look at that and be like, oh, my gosh, that child's mother. She doesn't like take care of him and make sure he has two pairs of matching socks. Yeah, someone might say that. But you know what?
Who cares? Because you know what it's like at your house. You know that you don't want to get in this fight with your child. And what does wearing two different socks really do in the long run?
Right,
right. It doesn't do anything.
And I think a big thing too to note of this is sometimes we in our heads, you guys have heard me and Joanne say it all the time, they're not going to do their laundry, which mm-hmm. means that they're going to get made fun of at school, which means they're going to drop out of school. And then that means that they're never going to get a job and they're going to start living in a van down by the river.
Yeah, but let's stop it right there, because what will really happen is that they won't do their laundry. They'll be made fun of at school. That peer pressure is going to have them rethink their not doing their laundry stance, and they might go back and do their laundry.
Right? So like, I think it's helpful sometimes just to tell them what our thought process is. I don't need to tell my kid that I'm afraid they're going to end up in a van down by the river. But mm-hmm. what I can say to them is like, look, it's Sunday and it's 4 o'clock and you haven't started your laundry. I'm afraid that if you don't go do it right now, it's going to be 9:30 and then it's going to be bedtime and you're going to say, oh, I can't go to bed. I don't have any clothes to wear to school tomorrow and I have to do my laundry. Mm-hmm. You say that to your kid and guess what? Your kid's going to come back and they're either going to go, oh, I didn't think of that. Or they're going to go, Mom, I'm going to do my laundry when I come down for dinner at 6.
Your kids will.
And then you're like,
They'll talk you down. That's what my daughter talks me down all the time, because mine is like her going to Coffee Rush, which is at the corner, and they have to cross the street. And I'm like, here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of this, this, and this. And she'll like, okay, here is why you don't need to be afraid of that. And here's what I'm going to do. So
it's, hearing what they're going to do, hearing that they actually have a plan is so helpful.
It is really helpful, and it helps them build the responsibility too.
But you only get that when you give them the freedom.
Exactly. So give them the freedom.
Yep.
And then finally, you got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away.
Know when to run.
Walk away.
Yes.
Walk away. That is like, remember, if you get into a fight, it's already a losing situation. If there is yelling and your emotions are heightened, you've already lost. That's how I see it. Like, I've already lost if I'm yelling. There's no shame in walking away.
Kenny Rogers was a wise, wise man.
Yes.
Yes.
Because many people think that it is our job to solve things immediately. Because if we don't solve problems immediately, then everyone will forget about it. And
the world will crash down. And
that's all fear talking. It's all fear talking. You can walk away. You can gather your thoughts. It's going to give you time to cool down. It's going to give your kids time to cool down. And then when you feel like you can have the conversation, that's when you can have the conversation. You don't have to deal with it immediately.
Yep. And my favorite thing to do when you're in the middle of the conversation or like you've been having the conversation and your kid keeps coming back. So like my example, my daughter kept saying to me over and over and over again, that's stupid. That rule is stupid. I should be able to go out in my pajamas. That's stupid. Eventually, after I was done saying my point, all I said to her repeatedly was, I love you. And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I love you. And the answer is no. Eventually, she was like, okay, I can't fight that.
Yeah.
So she just went upstairs, she cooled off and came back down half an hour later, lo and behold, in different comfy clothes.
So here are those tips for you again about how you can make backtalk a little bit less of an issue in your home. Number one, reflective listening. Repeat back what your child has said to you.
You want to ask them some questions and make sure they're actually truly inquisitive.
Number three, think about your role in the conversation and the dynamic and really examine that to feel like what message you're giving your child, either through your actions or through your tone.
You want to make sure that you're trying to give your child some more freedom, because a lot of time that's when you find out whether or not they have a plan.
And number five, it is okay to walk away. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away.
And know when to run.
Know when to run.
Sometimes you got to run away.
Sometimes you got to run. So until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll see you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.